Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you 4 free 5G phones and 4 lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well-qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we've got a couple of teams here who need a quarterback. Shocking as this carousel continues to turn with the Jets and Giants in the most important position in football. So Rich Cimini, who, of course, you said has been beaten by the Jets idiot stick for many years, and that is a term of endearment, actually, with Rich Cimini. You're actually having his back in that situation.
He's been hit over the head with so many bad seasons that he's had to cover, so many bad stories that he's had to cover, that, you know, every story that he writes now has a tinge of negativity to it.
And you can't blame him because of what he's seen.
I don't.
But this isn't necessarily a negative one. It's just him putting two and two together. So you know that Rick Spielman, who was a part of the 33rd team that was hired to help the Jets find a head coach and a general manager, was then hired after Muji and Aaron Glenn to be an advisor to the front office. And Rich says an intriguing possibility for the Jets at quarterback would be Kirk Cousins, because Rick was the one that went out and signed Kirk Cousins to that big deal when he went from Washington to Minnesota and then re-signed him again. And obviously Kirk Cousins and Rick Spielman have a really good relationship. And if you remember, the same thing happened last year with Russell Wilson when he was eventually released by the Broncos with all that money that they had to eat. So the Pittsburgh Steelers took a flyer on Russell Wilson, only had to pay him $1.2 million.
Yeah.
This is the same situation with the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins. So when you hear some of the numbers that get thrown out with Matt Stafford, what you have to pay him, and contract extension, and bringing a veteran in.
And trade.
They'll look for a trade partner with Kirk Cousins. It's not going to happen because they know that they're going to release them. They've got no use for them. No one's going to end up trading for Kirk Cousins. They're going to have to release them. And then when that happens, $1.2 million will be the salary that the new team pays Kirk Cousins. So I understand that he fell apart last year. He said he was hurt. He was injured. It wasn't him. And he's got a lot of football left. I mean, he looked really bad to get benched, I understand. But if that's true and he's got a lot of football left and he comes back healthy, $1.2 million for a guy that's had that type of success is something that you got to be interested in.
Yeah, well, is he interested in you?
I mean, he's interested in starting.
Yeah, I mean, but there are other teams out there that will be looking for a stopgap just like that.
Stopgap spot. I mean,
this is what this is. It's a stopgap spot, just like Pittsburgh's in their same situation as they were. So if it were coming down to Pittsburgh, or the Jets, which team would you play for?
The Steelers, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. The Steelers might get Aaron Rodgers. The Steelers might bring Russell Wilson back. They might bring Justin Fields back. I mean, I don't know where Kirk Cousins is on their list.
But I'd be like, the Steelers would love to pay $1.2 million for a quarterback.
Well, they just did.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think they're a better team than the Jets, and certainly a more organized team at the moment. And, you know, have a head coach, have a leader, have a defense. I mean, all that kind of stuff is there ready-made for whatever quarterback they choose. And I would think that if you were Kirk Cousins, first of all, you're going into the AFC North, which means there's very little chance that you're going to actually win that division, especially with the three other teams. Well, Cleveland, I don't know what they're doing either. That's another team that Kirk Cousins has been linked to.
Yeah, but I mean, I would rather go to the Jets than Cleveland.
I think what Cleveland needs to do, they need to figure out how to trade Myles Garrett, get, you know, right up, stay up there at the top of that draft, this kid, Abdul Carter, out of Penn State. There's your other pass rusher that's replacing Myles Garrett. Get a couple first-round picks and really start to rebuild that franchise, I would think. And then they'll look for somebody to be a stopgap kind of guy. Maybe it's a Justin Fields type or something. I don't know, but I don't know where that Cleveland team is headed at the moment.
Nobody does.
They don't have a bad roster. That's the thing. They just had so many injuries, and they made that big mistake at quarterback twice.
If I told you that in the last 6 years, there's been one coach who has won Coach of the Year twice.
Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah. And you just think of the Browns as just being a hellhole forever.
I saw Kevin at that Ivy Football Foundation dinner.
Yeah, did you give him your condolences?
I did. I went up, I said, man, I'm really sorry that you have to deal with what you're dealing with. I mean, but at least I told him, I said, look, you're one of the guys that's easy to root for in the NFL because there's nothing controversial about him at all.
Yeah.
He's a damn good football coach, and he knows what he's doing. And, you know, the team, like, it just goes to show you when the coach really doesn't have much say when it comes to the roster.
Yeah.
Like, the decisions that are made. Like, maybe Baker Mayfield was getting too big for them, and maybe they couldn't handle his personality, and they figured, okay, let's bring in Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I mean, that felt like an ownership thing, right?
What kind of dope is thinking that?
And probably Jimmy Haslam. That's got to be the one.
God. I know it's not Kevin Stefanski.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just going to go along. He goes, hey, look, you can give me Deshaun Watson, the Deshaun Watson from 5 years ago. If that's the guy that we're getting, let's get him.
Yeah. And speaking of the Browns, so do you feel like this is still early in the draft evaluation process for teams or not?
I think most of these teams have scouted all of these players, and they have their boards already up.
All right, the reason I ask you this
but the combines are going to change some of these.
And a lot of these guys don't, like the top guys don't throw at the combines, or like Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. But the reason I bring this up is Shedeur Sanders was asked, what meetings do you have with teams lined up right now? And Shedeur said the Browns and the Giants, and that's it.
Not the Titans.
Right, who have the number one overall pick.
Right. Who may be interested in Cam Ward, or maybe interested
Travis
in Travis Hunter, or Abdul Carter.
Or, that's probably it.
Yeah. Jackson Dart, maybe.
Not number one overall.
They may want to trade out of it, too. Who knows?
So I found that interesting that the Titans, at least to this point, have not reached out and requested an interview with Shedeur Sanders, who probably isn't going to throw at the combine.
Well, the other thing, too, is maybe they've been told that Shedeur doesn't want to go to Tennessee.
But he wants to go to Cleveland? He took a meeting with Cleveland.
Yeah. I
think it's pointing to the fact that the Tennessee Titans are in love with Travis Hunter. That's what I think this is. He had the guy, the VP of player personnel, talk about where we are not passing up on a generational talent. No way, no how. I mean, could that be a smokescreen? Possibly. These general managers do that all the time. But now that coupled with no meeting with Shedeur, I got to see if they have a meeting with Cam Ward. That would really be telling. But, yeah, I know it feels there is a lot of momentum with the Giants and Shedeur. There's no two ways about it. And we've been talking about it for weeks now. But it gets even more serious if you've got, well, if Cam Ward goes one to the Titans and then if Deion allows Shedeur to go to the Browns, then the Giants could be out of luck there if they really like one of those two guys. But I don't think it's going to work out that way. I think one of those two will be available. I think Cam Ward ends up going to the Browns. I think Shedeur ends up going to the Giants.
Man, I'll tell you what, that Abdul Carter, the more and more you see of him, the more and more that this, you know, is this the next Myles Garrett that's coming out of school? Is he Will Anderson Jr. out of Alabama, you know, who's playing for Houston?
Yeah.
I mean, this kid he's pretty damn good, man. I mean, you watch him play, you watch him go against big offensive tackles, runs around guys, rips up underneath guys, bull rushes guys.
Yeah.
I mean, he is like a cut, like just an unbelievable speed athlete.
A specimen?
He is.
A generational talent?
And I would say he is. They knew he was going to be a top 10 player, but now they're talking about him being like one of the best edge rushers coming out in the past. And, you know, just like Myles Garrett was, and just like, you know, guys that have been those can't miss players at that position.
Yeah. So we'll see if the Browns do end up trading Myles Garrett and then selecting him and saying, okay, we'll deal with a quarterback another year. We don't like one of these two guys to take. I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Could the Browns trade Myles Garrett and have enough draft capital to be able to get their quarterback and Abdul Carter?
Yeah.
And maybe they got their eyes on that Jackson Dart kid from Ole Miss.
Yeah, who you know is going to end up going higher than anybody expects right now.
He's going to be a top 15 pick.
Yeah, I mean,
is my guess right now a top 15 pick.
That's generally how it works. As you get closer to the draft, these guys start skyrocketing because teams are in need of quarterbacks and they know what it means to have a guy in a rookie deal. And especially when you have all these guys that worked out last year to some degree, you know, other than J.J. McCarthy,
so
his injury.
His comparables from last year are Drake May and Bo Nix.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's what... No, that's not me talking right now. That's NFL scouts talking.
Mm. NFL scouts out there? You got your ear to the ground?
I ear to the ground, baby.
You know, Phil was really into Cam Ward when he was in here.
He was. But he loved him some Cam Ward.
He said, wow. He said, I saw a bunch of throws. He said, oh, my gosh. Wow. So that got me excited about Cam Ward. Because you know Phil. Phil doesn't miss on those things.
What do you think he's doing right now?
He's in his robe and he's watching film.
Having coffee.
Yeah.
Watching quarterback tape.
Leave his ass at the retirement home. He's not retired, man. He's working. He is working his ass off still to this day.
Yes.
He's got kids who are throwing.
I wonder if like Joe Shane and those guys would say, hey, can you just come in here and just take a look at these guys? Just like to get your feel for it. I mean, just get an opinion on somebody.
They won't do that. You know, these guys are just obsessed with their own evaluations. They don't want to do that. Because then all of a sudden it seems like, oh, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You got to go out and get these outside influences.
But he's a part of the Giant family.
I agree. But I don't think that Brian Daboll swallows his pride in that situation and asks Phil Simms about it.
You know, it's amazing. If Phil just had to go out to dinner with the guy, just him and Phil, whoever the guy is, whoever they...
The quarterback?
Just the quarterback. Yeah. Just to go out to dinner with Phil. Just have dinner with Phil.
Dinner with Phil.
And just ask Phil after how'd it go? Well, what's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it. I don't know why you're asking me.
I don't know why people are afraid of something like that. If you have, like, that would be like saying to Carl Banks, hey, go out with this linebacker. Just go out and have a couple drinks with him if he drinks. If not, have a couple, you know, have a steak or whatever.
Smoke some weed with him or something.
Whatever. Just get to know the kid. And what do you think about the kid? You think like, you know, like why would you have Carl Banks go out with Abdul Carter?
Yeah. I'm just seeing like, you know, Phil Simms sharing a blunt with one of these prospects in his house, feeding some foxes. Get a real feel for the guy's personality.
Go over there and see the castle that Phil has.
Yeah, and say, hey, this could be you.
This could be you if you keep your head on straight.
This could be you right here. Super Bowl champion with a big estate, acreage, a whole bevy of animals out there.
He's got like a zoo over there.
He certainly does have a zoo.
Yeah, but I don't know why you wouldn't do that.
Because, well...
Especially when they're legendary players who have had their numbers, you know, up in rafters.
I don't agree with why they don't do it, but I'll tell you why they don't do it. It's because it's emasculating to them. And there's too much pride. That's what it comes down to.
I kind of understand that, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of collab. And you work with a few people. You say, hey, take the guy out to dinner. See what you think. Let me know what you think. Just talk some ball with them, talk life with them, talk what it means to, you know, to be the quarterback of a team and a leader. Find out if he has all those attributes that we're trying to find ourselves.
Yeah, and Phil would be honest, man. You take a microphone out from in front of his face, and you get the real Phil Simms. He'd be honest.
Shut your ass up.
That's our guy.
No, I know it's he, but he would. You know, if the guy was great or not, he'd be ripping the hell out of him if he wasn't. And then when he asked. If we ask the question to him, then he'll, you know, clean it up in his way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not sure if I'd go that route. you know. But some of the throws he makes, you say, oh, my gosh. And then some of the interceptions he makes, you say, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so there you go. I've decided, as we sit here today on February 13th, Kirk Cousins will be the Jets starting quarterback, and Shedeur Sanders will be the Giants starting quarterback.
You're probably not that far off.
What do you think?
Yeah, you're not that far off.
Well, I think, would you say, would Kirk Cousins want to come to the Jets? That's where the Rick Spielman thing is. Like, Rick could be like, come on, man, we got this thing in the right direction.
We got good players here. You know, you'd fit right in. Yeah, I could see that. Plus, you're cheap.
Yeah. Come on. We've done good things together. We got all the sludge from out of the building. We got a full serve pro came in here and douched the whole place.
Well, it definitely would make the team competitive. That's for sure. Give them a chance offensively.
Right, if he comes back healthy and looks like the guy from a couple years ago.
You know what I just think about, though? I think about Garrett Wilson. How many quarterbacks has he played with in his young career? And how many systems is he going to be a part of?
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised we haven't heard the trade request from him yet. But he's had Zach Wilson. He's had Mike White. He's had Joe Flacco. He's had Aaron Rodgers. Who am I missing? Timmy Boyle, who can spin it.
He can spin it, yep.
He's had Timmy Boyle, yeah. It's rough for
the guy. How's he supposed to be making more money than Ja'Marr Chase is going to be making?
He can't.
I mean, that's what everybody has their eye on. Remember, that's what Rob Saleh was selling to his players, was their contracts.
Mm-hmm.
But guys, man, we have success here. You're going to get paid. And he was talking about their money all the time. He wanted to get them paid. That was his whole gist behind the motivation and trying to be like, you know, one of the guys, getting them the money that they want. And if you're a Garrett Wilson now and you see Ja'Marr Chase is going to break Justin Jefferson's number, he's probably going to get close to $40 million a year. You know, and all of a sudden you're Garrett Wilson and you're thinking, hey, I'm a pretty damn good player. And everybody tells me I'm a good player.
But I'm not doing anything.
But I don't have the numbers like those guys. So how the hell am I going to get my contract up to be that high?
Yeah. And I would also say, well, look at Malik Nabers in his first year. Somehow it was able to put up huge numbers with a crap quarterback situation. Somehow,
some way. That's right. But I mean, again, that's the underlying things that you don't see. And that's the frustration that players have. Yeah, they want to win, but they also really want to get paid.
Especially nowadays when you can get $40 million a year as a wide receiver.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry is back. You did the game last night, Jerry, yes?
I had to, yeah.
I mean, you had to.
I went 0 for 4 asking people to fill in.
Oh, okay.
I tried calling out, and I got the text to prove it.
No,
because I did not want to do the game. I wanted to have the night off.
Yeah.
You should have taken today off.
Luckily, no, I'm good. Luckily, my fever broke when I woke up yesterday. I actually felt much better. Yeah. So it actually worked out well.
You wake up in that sweat.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. And I woke up, my temperature was perfect. I'm like, you know what? Ryan was the one that told me to stay home and sleep.
I know. We gave him pats on the back yesterday.
I appreciated it.
Because he was thinking about you. The human employee.
That was very nice of him.
And not the bottom line.
And I slept almost 14 hours, which I have not done, and I couldn't tell you how long.
Mm.
Which is pretty good.
Yeah, and then also, you know, CeeLo, because he was notified about less than 24 hours before his shift yesterday, he went and got a hotel and stayed in the city.
Oh, wow.
And he would not put it through the system, whatever the hell you...
Concur?
whatever
the expense.
The expenses. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. He wouldn't do it.
Okay.
And I thought that's a good time to do it, no?
I would think so.
Yeah. I mean, they'll reimburse him for that.
I would think.
I think they would. Hell, if Ryan is telling Jerry to stay home, I'll pay somebody else to be here.
Yeah.
Then that means he deeply cares about the humans in this building, which is not something we normally see from radio executives.
Right. You remember Chernoff, you know, he would just beat you down constantly, make you share rooms together. You couldn't even get the sheets changed.
Mm.
That is true.
You slept in each other's like slop and skin flakes and all that other stuff.
That did happen with Harris.
Ah! Yeah. So, I mean, that's, you know, Ryan Hurley, man. He really cares about us.
And I'm saying his professional, his attitude's professional, buttoned up.
Big hurls.
Taking care of the employees.
See, if he had done this prior to this week, like if this had happened a couple weeks ago and we broadcast the fact that he told Jerry to stay home and to take care of himself and paid an anchor to be here, maybe he wouldn't have been number 10 on the program director list from Barrett Sports Media. He might have actually gotten up a little bit higher than number 10. On that list.
Sure should be.
Yeah.
Without I think it's up to us to elevate him.
Well, I'm trying.
He also needs a full year.
Well, I know you spent a lot of time with him after the show.
Not anymore after you said that. Now he's afraid to talk to me after the show.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
He won't. Then you're welcome.
You made it sound way worse than it was. You made it sound like, I mean, I told the story about how he was into the OJ thing, and he did follow me all the way to the elevator talking about the OJ thing. And then you just trashed him, and now he's afraid to come and talk to me.
Number one, I did not trash him.
Oh, you did.
And yeah. Number two, I never complained about talking to him after the show.
I wasn't complaining. I just told a story. Told a story. Yeah. What? I told a story about how he talked to me about OJ.
Yeah, amongst other things, every day.
I know. See, yeah, this is stuff I did not say.
This is a little embellishment here.
This is the words in the mouth spot. I did not say that. I said that he followed me. And talk to me about OJ.
Was he still talking as the door was closing?
Yes. Yep. He was like,
Christopher Darden.
Okay. See ya. See ya. Okay, Jerry, what's going on over there?
We are brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll start with the basketball this hour. Knicks go into the All-Star break on an up note.
Knicks lead by one. Trae Young driving on Bridges. Puts it up. No good. Okongwu the rebound. Niang quarter three. The Knicks win! The Knicks hang on and defeat the Hawks in overtime, 149-148.
Heck of a look they got, but it doesn't go down. Knicks hold on. Kenny Albert, the call on MSG. There's your final score. Jalen Brunson, 36 points, including the go-ahead basket prior to that possession by Atlanta. Karl Anthony Towns at 44 points on the night. Here was Brunson, courtesy of MSG, going out and getting it done.
It's just a good team win. And, you know, it wasn't easy. It's a back-to-back. And just come in and find a way to win.
Brunson sounding a lot like his head coach there. Here's, I think, Precious Achiuwa. So he played great. 26 points.
Yes, he did.
Shot 5% from the field.
Problem is going to be when OG comes back, now what happens?
Well, let's take it one game at a time. That's your famous thing. One possession, one quarter,
I mean, what happens is they get better.
They get better, and then he plays less, and then, you know.
Hey.
He doesn't
have enough good players, man.
No, I know that, and then he doesn't get a chance to shoot 16 shots.
I mean, you're going glass half empty with this here.
He may end up going 0 for 5 or something. Everybody expects this kind of performance when he's going to get limited minutes when he comes back. That's all.
Well, here he said his mindset when given the opportunity, like games like last night.
Just going out there playing winning basketball, you know, I'm a winner. That's one thing I prioritize.
See, I told you.
Everything else, you know, just, you know, winning and going out there, whatever it takes, you know.
I like it. I'm a winner.
Yeah, me and Precious on the same page, baby. He's a winner. I'm a winner.
There you go. And the Knicks are winners. 36-18. By the way, Josh Hart had a double-double. 18 points, 10 rebounds. So they get the time off now for the players that aren't involved this weekend. Next up will be the Bulls next Thursday.
All right, here's supposedly this day-to-day foot injury, okay, with OG Anunoby. Will we see him right after the All-Star break? You think a couple more weeks? And when do we see Mitchell Robinson? Do you think like April 1st for Mitchell Robinson? Or
no, I think before that.
I
think you see both of them shortly after the All-Star break.
I would like to think that you're going to see OG before Mitchell, but I would think that Mitchell should be ready within the next 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
You would think. I thought he'd be here by now.
Mid-March then, maybe.
Just text Wally. Make him useful for something, huh? Send him a text.
I tried to make him useful for one thing, and he blew it.
You know what you, yeah, talk to, text him right now. Hey, Wally, you boring son of a bitch.
I'm not going to say that. He's not boring to me. He may be boring to you.
No, well, he's boring to Al. We have a good time with that and the rest of us when he's on the air. When he's off the air, he's great. When he's on the air, a little bit flat. And then you say, hey, when is Mitchell Robinson coming back? And when is OG Anunoby coming back?
He probably is listening to you right now, so I don't have to text.
O period G period Anunoby.
Could you imagine? I bet you that the, let me see. You think it would actually pick that up?
No, I don't think it will.
O period G period Anunoby.
Yeah, it says O-H period, G period.
O-G and O-B.
Yeah. Not so good, that technology, no. Sometimes.
Meantime, the Nets beat the Sixers 196. Nick Claxton, 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 5
what
blocks.
What are the Nets doing, man?
Winning more than I think they probably would have wanted to.
Why are they winning so much? You think just teams are playing down to them, thinking that they're the Nets?
It could be that. They also have young players that give a damn, and they're going out and playing hard.
It's nice. You got to appreciate it.
Here was Nick Claxton.
We playing with a lot of swagger. It's been good. You know, we still got guys out with injuries, so we got to keep building. It's going to be fun coming back from the break.
Is there only I think it's a game and a half now out of the play-in spot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so they're 20-34. They've played well of late. And you had D'Angelo Russell went for 22. College basketball, not the best of nights for St. John's. They go to Villanova. They fall behind late. This was the final possession as heard on St. John's Learfield Radio.
Here comes the inbounds pass. They relax the pressure into the front court. Comes Kadari Richmond with 5-4. Richmond goes to Wilcher. Wilcher gets away, shoots a three at the buzzer. No good. And it's Villanova that comes away with the victory here tonight at the Finneran Pavilion, 73-71.
No more getting stiff.
No more getting stiff.
No more getting. So 73-71, the final. Tyler Perkins at the go-ahead three prior to that possession. He finished with 12, and Wuga Poplar had 22 points for Nova. St. John's has their 10-game winning streak come to an end. They're now 21-4.
Could a loss be a good thing, Jerry?
Someone said that the other day, actually.
Sometimes it's okay to lose. Like a game like this, I know that it means everything in the world, but I think Rick Pitino will use it as incentive and motivation. Doesn't want to get the team, you know, too big-headed, that kind of thing.
Gets them to reset before Creighton now Sunday.
That's exactly right. That's what you do. Now you work them hard in practice, and hopefully they start hitting some three-point shots, for God's sake.
Yeah, don't want them to peak too early, you know?
Well, and Davon Smith, I believe, could
don't
miss.
Don't you have a problem with peaking too early?
No.
He, neck injury last night. So that's not good.
That's not good.
That is not good.
Did they say, did they put a timetable on him or not?
Rick Pitino said doesn't think he'll be back anytime soon.
Okay.
But don't know, should say. Down in Florida, Yankees pitcher Garrett Cole with the media. Juan Soto, now a former Yankee, he's with the Mets. Here was Cole asked about his thoughts of Soto in the free agent process.
I just tried to remain kind of indifferent and not get my hopes up one way or the other. you know, it is, you know, he's a tremendous player, and he was extremely impactful for us, and a joy to watch and a joy to be around. So, you know, Juan will be missed to a certain extent.
However, we're the Yankees. We retooled, and we're going to be just fine is essentially what the message he had. Now, meantime, in Port St. Lucie. Now, I'm only playing this because when I first heard it, I actually wondered, is John Heyman okay? This was Heyman's question to Carlos Mendoza. The question's fine, but I didn't think he sounded right.
You have a lot of good names for that lineup now. I'm just going to assume Lindor is the leadoff hitter. Do you have it in your mind who's 2, 3, and 4 from there?
A little weak voice, yeah, no? For John?
Yeah, it's sort of been happening the last couple of years. He may have that thing that RFK has with his vocal box.
Can't even believe it!
I mean, he sounded good there, but I know I've noticed that the last couple of years.
It
with
doesn't
him.
Sound
yeah.
great.
I hope he's okay. There may be something going on there. Yeah,
I hope he's all right. The Red Sox signing Alex Bregman, 3 years, $120 million with opt-outs. Nick Pivetta to the Padres. Just a quick aside to set up a couple of clips that are coming up.
From like 1955.
This is your life. Yeah. Now, here he is, Mr. This Is Your Life himself.
Al Dukes.
All right, so we have a couple of... I got a couple of clips here that made me think of Al. Now, I could have used the Saquon Barkley shower one, because he has certainly discussed that, but I had sent that to TV already, so we move on. So maybe you talked about this, maybe you didn't, but if you did, I'm going to play it anyway. This was Steve Young on the Graham Benzinger podcast talking about being a child athlete. What has Al always talked about when he played baseball as a kid?
Oh, they didn't get a hit for an entire season in the Little League?
And listen to, this is Steve Young.
In our town, baseball was the king.
You were quite the player.
And I was 13 years old. I went 0 for 40, I want to say.
Steve Young was 0 for 40.
That's strange, man, because usually when you're that good at another sport, you can it can translate.
Sometimes you just hit it where their players are right there.
And then the other one that made me think of Al... Al's 55. He has made it very clear that at 59, he is heading off into the sunset.
Mm.
I found this guy, Azul, on YouTube. Made me think of Al.
I just retired a couple months ago at the age of 59. And one of the big surprises to me is, candidly, I'm kind of avoiding people.
That's perfect. Al, that's right up your alley.
Can't have a he goes candidly.
Candidly.
I have actually watched this guy's videos.
Really?
Azul, yeah.
Have you really?
Well, what is his... Is he your inspiration now, or...?
No, he just does videos about retirement and how to prepare and what you do in retirement. So I was... watching him, but then I noticed he did a thing which you have to do to become successful at this, is he then just started fear-mongering everything, where he'd put up a video with like a fear-mongering type of title. I actually wrote to him. I go, what are we doing?
Of course you wrote to him. Why did you do some of these videos?
I may eventually.
Yeah, eventually, right. Yeah.
I think I found YouTube is not where my people are.
Do you think that when you do retire and you readjust Whimsy's schedule, because that's what's going to happen.
Oh, she'll be dead, right? By the way.
You hope.
He's clearly thought about this.
Holy. Holy hell.
I'm just saying. She's a 9 now.
Right.
4 years, 5 years. It's going to be close.
I mean, you take very good care of her.
I do, yeah.
She feels loved and safe.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to last longer than that.
You don't say, Eddie?
Yeah, I just hope Guinness is involved somehow with this.
What's the average life expectancy for a retired racing
hound? Not that
hound?
I've Googled this, but 10 years to 10 to 14 years, I believe.
Yeah, 10 to 14 years, that's right.
Okay.
And how old is she now?
9.
She'll be 9. She'll be 9 very soon.
I bet you have at least 2 years with her if you do retire at 59. If you don't get fired before that.
Right.
That would be his luck, that he gets a dog that actually outlives the expectancy.
CBS Sunday morning, Steve Hartman will show up at his house. It's amazing. The oldest greyhound to ever live. 22 years old. 22-year-old Whimsy.
She's running around the yard, yeah. not slowing down at all.
Oh, man. That's funny. Anyway, so there's his life. What else? Quickly, you have Canada beat Sweden in the Four Nations opener, 4-3 in overtime. Mitch Marner with the game-winning goal there.
USA and Finland tonight.
The U.S. plays Finland this evening. You also had the Kadarius Toney arrest. He's claiming, I would imagine, innocence with the post that he put on Instagram yesterday. So we'll keep an eye on that. And Travis Kelce, we'll have some audio from him coming up next hour, and an update as well from the Melusis family vacation.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He's putting it all out there.
He is putting it all out there, and I have seen the video from last night. We will have some highlights of that video coming up next hour as well.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Man, I play this song all the time in the summertime. Makes me feel like the sun and the water and the Great South Bay and all that stuff. And we are a long way away from that right now, as we still have a entire rest of the month of February to go, and then March and then April. But we inch closer and closer to a baseball, and seeing those scenes down from Tampa and Port St. Lucie just warms the cockles of your esophagus, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Indeed. Let's go to Henry, who's down in Atlanta, wants to talk to us about some baseball. What's going on, Henry?
Hey, good morning, fellas. I'm a Brooklyn transplant down here in Atlanta, and I watch your show all the time, and I wake up to you I just love it. It gives me a piece of New York I don't have down here.
Well, that's awesome, but, Henry. Thank you. What do you got for us today?
Well, all right. So before I'm going to pose a question to you guys, and I'm going to get off and listen to your response. But real quick, I have one thing for you, Gio, and one thing for you, Boomer. Boomer, when you guys had Sims on the other day, he was talking about his son dissing him, not paying him the respect. When I was a little kid and my dad would take me fishing, one thing my dad always would say to me if I got a little cocky on him was, I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know, when he'd catch a fish. But out of, which I always thought was great.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very good point, but I will say that Phil Sims has a great relationship with both of his sons and, of course, his daughter as well.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, listen, I know he was just,
His sons are a carbon copy of him, you have to understand. So
yeah.
They love messing with the big fella, because that's what they call him, the big fella.
Who could blame them?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure Gunner's the same way with you at times, too.
Yes.
But, hey, Gio, one thing as far as yourself, with I know you love to fish. I'm a big fisherman down here, and I was up in the New York area. Gio, you need to take up fly fishing for striped bass. It will be an epiphany to you. Trust me.
Man, you know what? I hear you're not the first guy who said that, and I know that it is such a rewarding experience, but, like, man, it is frustrating. Like, it's a hard thing to learn, try to figure out, and just... Like, I don't know, man. I like the live bait. Thanks, Henry. I like the live bait where you get the fish, you stick it on the end of the hook, and it's out there swimming, and then boom, you get it hit, and bang, you got the fish reeling in. But
I mean, I can get you on a try. I got a bunch of really rich friends that love going down to Argentina and go fly fishing. I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Argentina, huh?
Yeah.
You know, I had one of these moments that...
You want to go?
To Argentina?
Yeah.
Are you going?
No.
Well, then I'm not
a fisherman. You're a fisherman. We often talk about how you love the fish and how you love the sea. Now, this is not the sea. This will be down in somewhere down in Argentina. I'm not really sure where.
I still enjoy fishing and I still like it, but golf has taken over that. When you know that, I know that.
Well, you could probably do some fishing and golfing in Argentina.
Well, then, yeah. Then that sounds great.
I'll put you on the guest list.
When are they going?
I'm not going, though.
When are they going?
I don't know.
Do I know them?
I think you've met one or two of them.
Okay. Well, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
I mean, I am going to Disney in March, so I already have a vacation there. And it's going to be tough.
Okay.
To leave again.
Yeah.
Go to Argentina. Can I do a Zoom from Argentina? Can I Zoom in?
No, you would have to be there. You'd have to experience it.
Okay. Well, maybe next year, then.
Okay.
But I had this moment actually involved a former colleague here where I was like, I don't want to be the fishing captain any longer. And it was with Damon Amendolara. Now, Damon Amendolara, DA, he likes to fish. And he came to me once when he was working in the mornings here and I was working here. And he goes, I'd love to go out on your boat and fish, out on Long Island. Would you take me? So I was like, yeah, sure. It sounds good, man. Let's do it. Now, me and my schedule, I like to, when I go out, there's not a lot of people around because most people are working normal hours. Well, DA, even though he was doing mornings, he, in the afternoons, would have other stuff that he was doing, so he could only do it on a weekend. So now that's...
Oh, that's brutal.
So I go over to the Mariches Inlet on a weekend, which is basically...
The Mariches Inlet on a weekend.
During fluke season.
Oh, fluke season.
Everybody's in there.
This is a nightmare.
Everybody's in there,
you know?
So I'm drifting in the inlet, and DA is not an experienced fisherman, not an experienced seaman. And he gets the line caught in the prop of my motor.
Oh, that sucks.
And we are in an inlet, all right, with the tide that is an outgoing tide.
The Mariches Inlet.
And my engine is still going. Right? There's other boats around. And I go, you got the line caught in the propeller. He goes, all right, I'll just jump in and fix it. I said, whoa. I said, first of all, you could get chopped up by the propeller. And then two, you're going to get sucked out to sea, man. It's an outgoing tide.
See, this is why you're the experienced seaman.
So I was just like, I can't. So I cut the line. And I said, we're going to a bar. Swear to God. That was it. Didn't catch one fish. Wow. We were out there for like 20 minutes. And I said, I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't.
You know what? I don't want any more stuff from over there. I'm over it. We're done.
That was when he was pissed off about Morash taking the job in the afternoons. And then shortly he left for Sirius. So he was, that was a legit gripe that he had there. Yeah. But we had a fun day. We ended up having some lunch and whatever after that.
I mean, like, the hard thing for people to understand is, you know, around here, the fishing season is a very condensed season. Mm. And, you know, and when you're going on the weekends, when the fluke are running, you're in the middle of, like, fluke hunters that are just, like, out of their minds. And I could just imagine all the different wave runners out there and all that crap going on and people, you know, fluke fishing. Oh, my God.
And then so now, you know, when someone says, hey, you want to go out fishing, they have a boat and they do it all the time. And I'm someone that I'm a really good fisherman guest because I know the protocol. I know what to do. I can help out. I'm a boat captain. I know what to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so like we went out with Big Head. It was great.
Right. They like having me around. I could do some stuff. But when I'm the one in charge.
Right.
I just, that was my last moment.
When did we go out with Big Head? That was in April, right?
It was 2023.
We should do that again.
With Big Head?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd love to do it. Although he trolls, which is...
He is a troll. Hey, Sal in Spring Valley, what's happening?
Hey, Boomer, how are you?
All right, good. What's going on?
My sons play hockey at Upper West Point. They're on the youth travel program. I'm going to Lake Placid.
Oh, nice. You got to have a great trip,
A tournament, and we're going to do some ice fishing on Saranac Lake while we're up there. I wonder if you guys are... I'm sure you are, Boomer, or maybe even Sal... Maybe Geo into ice fishing. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so we actually went ice fishing in Minnesota on Lake Minnetonka.
That's real ice fishing.
Yeah, we did, and that's me with that little tiny fish that I caught.
Yeah,
right there.
Baby fish. Now, would you eat that?
I would. I mean, we threw it back. I don't know what we did with those, actually. Right. I don't remember, but yeah.
Remember I got you that Viking hat?
Yes, you did, and I'm wearing it there. So
yeah,
there you go.
Look at that.
Yeah, so that was a little tiny
fish.
That's
real ice fishing because that's a cabin. It's got a TV in it.
Yeah.
That guy was set up.
So not only did I go ice fishing, we got video of it.
Is that a rug?
Yeah, there's a rug in there. Yeah,
what did he have underneath the rug?
I think wood.
And the whole cabin obviously set on top of the ice.
Yeah.
And that ice was, how thick was that ice?
I don't remember, man. I don't. All I remember is when we took the truck onto the ice, he goes, take your seatbelts off. And I said, why? He goes, just in case we go through, you can jump out the window. So you put the windows down and take your seatbelts off. So I was like, this is nice and safe.
That's a big thing now. The ice plunge, that's a big thing. Every morning, start with the ice plunge.
Well, that's not something we wanted to do in that situation. Because that means that we would have been, you know, the truck would have gone through the ice. But it was fun. We had a good time, I think. Did we have a good time doing that?
That was actually one of the warmer days because it was not totally brutal out there.
Yeah, that was a rough trip because Gina ended up going to the hospital with Sabrina, and then I was going to go home and not go home, and then I got sick, and then Terry Bradshaw was sweating on me, and then Al got all pissed off because you told Gina that you're going to the Super Bowl, and then she wanted to go, and Al said no, and the two of them weren't talking, and it was a mess. That was a rough week. Eddie almost died.
Eddie almost died getting stuck outside the Mall of America.
Yeah. Yep.
Not knowing which way to go in. Yeah, There's a door right there. Just walk in.
Yeah.
No, I got dropped off on the other side.
Yeah. There was like tanks and stuff around there. It was not a door, walk in a door situation.
Well, I had a good time.
In Minneapolis?
Yeah, I did. I actually liked it.
See, that's why I vowed to have a great time in Atlanta the next year, and I did, because I was like, that experience was interesting.